This is the Friday, November 4th, 2016 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now is Darren Newsom. Darren, welcome back.
Thank you, Mike.
Cotton market.
Yes.
We did not discuss it. Down 229 on the week.
Yeah.
Downward move, suggestive of future moves?
Cotton, yeah, it could be. We've had a lot of selling coming from both sides of the market. We've had investor selling, and we've even had some commercial selling going on, which seems odd given all of the weather problems, floods, hurricanes, and everything else that's moved through parts of the Southeast. You would think that, okay, there's some sort of fundamental problem in the cotton market, and there still could be. I mean, next week when we get our next round of supply and demand numbers, that could lower cotton production and ending stocks and so on. So that might bring some of the buyers back. But it just seems like we ran out of interest. We ran out of new news items here over the last couple of weeks, and that's really put a great deal of pressure on the cotton market.
Just the exuberance that fueled that big jump two months ago is gone.
I think so. You know, it's just been sucked back out of the market, and now it needs that next something to start getting excited about going up again.
Okay. If it would, or rather, if it doesn't start to go back up, from a technical perspective, are we watching a drop all the way back down into the low 60s?
I don't think so. I think we broke out on the long-term chart, so you know, it's just pulling back. If nothing else, we're seeing a healthy retracement here. So it would not surprise me over the next, 4 to 6 weeks that we really start to stabilize this market.
Okay. Now, next, I want to jump to a bunch of our questions from our followers on Facebook and Twitter. We've got a question here from a man who is a very dear friend of yours, was featured in your column this week. Philip Shaw in Ontario, Canada, notes that the Cubs are the story of the year. So now, as we look long into 2017, what's the story in the grain markets?
Well, I think the story of 17, and maybe this means the Cubs are going to repeat as champions next year, I think the story in 17 is going to be similar to what it was in 16, oversupply. I think that is the story. Now, I say that, the sidebar to all that is going to be, is demand going to continue to get stronger? And that brings in a whole bunch of other things. That brings in the election, that brings in the dollar, that brings in the Fed, it brings in all of these things that play a part in overall demand. So I think supply, you know, how much are we going to produce again in 2017 if we have our fifth record year in corn and soybean production consecutively? That's going to be a problem. It's going to be make it a very similar problem to what we saw here in 2016. The thing is, we are going to have to keep a very close eye on all these different aspects of what makes up demand.
These other factors that are swirling around us right now.
Absolutely.
Now, I know you're not a headline guy, but there's been talk of 4 to 5 million more bean acres going into the ground this next year. Which actually, let's just roll down the list. Actually, we'll get to that question.
Well, and that's on top of 101 to 102 million metric ton crop out of Brazil.
So, right. So we've got a good question about that, actually. I didn't mean to jump over it. Carl in Renner, South Dakota, is asking, should I roll December basis contracts if the corn market trends down to the end of the month?
Rolling D's to March and a little bit of a downtrend here, it's going to depend on what the D's March spread does. It's sitting at a pretty neutral level right now. If you have it hedged overall at a good level, yeah, I would say go ahead and roll it out, particularly if you can get some appreciation in the D-Smart spread. Because as we mentioned in the show, basis should strengthen from here. Even if the futures market stabilizes and starts to go back up, what we normally see is basis appreciation, and that would play into a rolling of the hedge and hoping for better things later down the road.
Okay. Here's the question that I was jumping over. I was jumping the gun. This is from Ben in Jessup, Iowa, at Ben Ranchi there on Twitter. He says, Darren, you're not a fundamental guy, but if South America raises a normal or better bean crop, and let's assume that we predict 89 million acres of beans going in the ground, where's the technical bottom for NOVE 17 beans?
I haven't actually looked at the NOVE 17 contract, and that's my fault, Ben. I apologize for that. I should have looked at it. But from a long-term perspective in the soybean market, the low is in. I'm not overly concerned if Brazil raises 101 million metric tons, if we increase 3 to 4 million acres, because the beans continue to get used. They continue to disappear. China's demand was supposed to go away. It didn't. Their economy is doing just fine. If the dollar collapses following the election, if it follows its long-term patterns and goes down over the next year, more demand is going to be coming to the United States. We're going to be very competitive. Could it wreck the market? Yeah, I'm going to play along and say yes. Do I see us going to a new low? No, I don't.
So low's in 850s.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's got to be reassuring, and that's probably going to help push some more acres into beans.
Well, and that's a problem. I mean, if we plant 3, 4, 5, 6 million more acres, it's going to be a problem. Could certainly open the door and make it easier to go to new lows. I'm saying, you know, as Ben pointed out, looking at my long-term charts, the soybean lows should be in.
Now, let's just put on our gaze into our crystal balls here. If we grow, let's call it 6 million, 90 million acres of soybeans this next year, what would the basis situation look like come harvest?
Going to get crushed.
I mean, it'd be terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible this year. We're you know, national average basis, 80 to 85 under right now. We could be looking a dollar plus under.
Okay.
So the argument automatically turns to, how can you be an analyst that says we're looking at a dollar under basis, yet the lows are in the futures market? It's a tough argument to make. I've got to look at two different things there. One, basis, yes, would collapse. Long-term charts showing the lows are in, maybe they're lying to me this time.
Okay. Now, another crystal ball question. You've mentioned the election. What if we elect a president who is not on friendly terms with China?
Let's say we
upset that apple cart. Is demand strong enough there to overcome political headwinds? I mean, they need to feed their people.
Not if we get into a trade war.
Okay.
Because, again, I mean, right now we're going to continue to move soybeans. But as soon as the South American harvest comes in, and if it is as big as what's being talked about, and we have elected a government that, or however you want to phrase that, that all of a sudden finds trade with other countries difficult, we could be looking at having some problems. All of this, because again, oversupply is the main issue. Demand is what has tempered it. If we erase that, then all we have is oversupply everywhere, in every commodity. And that's not a good situation.
No. Demand is the solution to oversupply every time.
That's the only thing you've got.
And actually, this next question, Brock in Baxter, Iowa, builds on that. With the carryover of 15 crop and abundant 16 crop, will this pollute the 17 markets? And he's asking, where's the demand? I want to ask you, how aggressive do I need to be making sales in here today?
If we're looking at corn, I wouldn't be too aggressive. Because if we're going to go 5-6 million more acres of soybeans, it's going to come from somewhere. Most likely, it's going to come from corn. And we've got good demand going on for corn right now. If we're talking about soybeans, and we're saying how aggressive do we need to be out in 2017, you know, I hate to do it after the fact, but Tuesday's going to tell a big part of the story. You know, we either should have been 100% sold on 17, or not much.
Okay.
Very small percentage.
Tuesday's coming up.
Yeah.
It's a day, Tuesday and Wednesday, we're going to have election reports rolling in all day and into the middle of the night. There's going to be lots of uncertainty. There's lots of strong emotions rampant in this election. How can a trader profit from this uncertainty? Is there a way?
Volatility is going to go up. Volatility is going to explode higher. At least that's what it looks like right now. And again, going back to last Friday, certainly an indication that should be the case. So what I would look for, if I'm just a speculator, is some market, whatever market, where volatility is relatively low right now. And then look at doing an option straddle on very short-term options. So let's just take soybeans. And I'm not professing a trade here. I'm not recommending a trade.
We're not advising anybody to do this.
Absolutely. But what a straddle is where you go into a market with lower volatility and you buy both an at-the-money call and an at-the-money put. So you've basically got a straddle. Imagine straddling a fence at that point. If the market shoots up, you just either let the put expire and you sell the call for more than what you paid for it. If it goes down, you do the opposite. volatility is going to kick up, and that's going to increase the premium. Even if it is a short-term option, that immediate reaction is going to up the volatility, and volatility is a key component of option premium.
Is there a way to hedge any of my, if not, it's not a hedge, but would this be a way to protect some of my pricing for 17's crop?
Depending on how friendly you are with your accountant, anything can be called a hedge. I used to have a gentleman who would hedge his soybeans with silver contracts, long and short. So, I mean,
okay,
anything is possible. This really, I mean, in a way, you can always argue you're buying the put.
Right.
So, you know, if the market goes down, then that's risk management.
Yes.
Price protection. If the market goes up, you're still taking advantage. You know, if you've already got,
You're putting a couple pennies on.
That's called price enhancement.
Right, building and a price.
Building a price. It's not necessarily a hedge, but that's open to discussion.
Okay. All right. And finally, two final questions before we go. Talk to us about the intersection between the U.S. dollar and the Federal Reserve interest rates. There's a lot of talk that we're going to see rates increase in December, but we're also watching this dollar pull back. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Well, again, I've been a dollar bear for quite some time. I even rode through last December when the rates were raised and the dollar went to a new high, right over 100 points. And I still think it's going down. Charts still tell me again that it's going down. So what's this say? Okay. Number one could be reaction to the election. So if that happens in November and it drives us down, then we get a rate increase in December that's been factored in for 3-4 years. We'll get a bounce in the dollar off the headline, but it may not take us to a new high. And so it might just be a pause in the longer-term downtrend. Then we go into 2017 again, where, you know, the Federal Reserve sits back and we wait to see what kind of economic situation plays out, not only here, but abroad as well. I think the dollar should continue to come down.
Okay.
And that should help our export situation.
Okay. Final question, Darren Newsom. We use this phrase on the show. It's a phrase it gets used quite a bit in the commodity and financial markets. What is a dead cat bounce?
This goes back a long ways in the financial markets. The idea, and it's, you know, graphic.
Yes.
Is you can drop a dead cat from any height, and it's going to bounce. But it's still dead. So it usually applies to a market that has bearish fundamentals. It's been falling, falling, and falling. It hits a point and immediately bounces back up. But just as with the dead cat that bounces, it comes back down.
Right. It's not landing on its feet this time.
It's not landing on its feet. Again, it gets applied to a number of different market situations.
Live cattle for the past 18 months. We've
live
seen
cattle.
A number of
the
dead
problem
cattle
is that's more of a bounce going, you know, more of a drilling situation because it drills down to new lows. So I don't know if you'd be a cat or what.
It's a cat that falls off a skyscraper, bounces into a canyon.
Yeah.
Yes.
that's exactly what happens.
Yeah. All right. Well, Darren Newsom, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks to all of you for sending in questions via Facebook and Twitter. Please continue to do so, and we will get expert analysis right to you. Thanks for watching, and have a great week.